Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about how praise changes things. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome, everybody. So glad to have you here today. I'm excited to be here with you. I've had 2 weeks off, so y'all look out. I know that God has something very special for us. Well, welcome to all of those who are joining us at our online campus. Thank you for being here with us. And we're so grateful that we get to connect with you in this way. We pray God's blessings on you today. If y'all can check the microphone, there's something going on funny with it. But we are so excited for what God is going to do. So we're going to get started this morning with the message. If you'll stand to your feet. We're going to be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And it reads this way. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your house and to receive from your hand today, Lord. We thank you that your presence is here. We've already felt it, Lord, as we lifted our hands in praise and in our hearts in adoration. We thank you for the impact, oh God, that your presence has on our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that now we have the opportunity to come into your house and to receive from your hand, Lord, to receive from your word, to open up your word together, and to hear your voice speaking to our hearts. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. So we've been talking about we've started this series, Here as in Heaven, a few weeks ago. And we started out by talking about how prayer changes things, but this morning I want to talk to us about how praise changes things. Praise changes things. Talking about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. We focused on how when we pray, we have the power to bring heaven to earth. We've been given the power to declare things that are not as though they were. Jesus said, "I give you the keys," Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Romans chapter 8, 37 says, we are more than conquerors. Say it with me. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Jesus said, this is the way that you should pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was trying to get us to understand that as children of God, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have been given a position of authority. You and I have been commissioned by God to participate with heaven in this grand shift, this royal takeover. We have been called and commissioned as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. God, through the mighty power of his Holy Spirit, is in the process of bringing the kingdoms of this world into submission under the authority of the kingdom of heaven. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. One day that final trumpet is going to sound. The sky will split wide open, and the King of Glory will descend with all of heaven's armies to take his rightful place as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. When that day comes, a mighty proclamation will resound throughout the portals of heaven, shaking the earth at its core, piercing the hearts of mankind, and bringing every body, soul, and spirit to its knees. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Every angel in heaven, every believer bought with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, will join in the shout heard throughout the universe as we declare the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, for he shall reign forever and ever. Glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory be to God, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the power forever and ever. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Until that glorious day comes, we have been given a part to play. Jesus has given us a mandate to enact God's kingdom and God's will here on this earth, even as it is in heaven. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 61. It might take y'all a little bit longer than me because I marked it ahead of time because I knew I was going to read it. So I'm there already. But you can get there in just a second. I want to read this to you out of the NIV translation. It says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities and that have been devastated for generations." Somebody say amen. "Strangers will shepherd your flock. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people, and all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people of the Lord, that the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and the garden causes seed to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations." Somebody give the Lord praise for that today. At Jesus' first public appearance, teaching in the synagogue, he read this passage from Isaiah 61. When he had finished reading it, he made this statement: "Today, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes." What was he saying? He was saying, I have come to do this. This is what I am here for. This is why I have come, as the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus went about healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, casting out devils, opening up the blind eyes and the mute mouths. He healed the brokenhearted, restored joy to those who were mourning. He lifted the downtrodden and the outcast. He came proclaiming the kingdom of God has come. A short time later, he anointed and commissioned 72 disciples to go and to do the same. After he died and he rose again, just before he ascended into heavens, he declared to 500 people that they were, as they were assembled, that all power had been given to him. Then he said, I am commissioning you, go do what I have done, and empower everyone to do the same. Make disciples. Make disciples. This is where we get everything twisted, if I can say it that way. This is where the church has failed to, for decades, if not centuries. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to establish his kingdom. Say it with me. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to establish his kingdom. Jesus is not recruiting volunteers. He is raising an army. Amen? Jesus isn't interested in growing your congregation. He came to conquer the kingdoms of this world. Jesus doesn't want your approval. He wants your allegiance. Jesus has already defeated the forces of darkness. He has already won the victory. We now live in this brief juncture in history between the enemy's defeat at the cross and the complete takeover by the kingdom of God. God has dedicated this time as a season of grace. It is the opportunity for mankind to choose between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Each and every one of us have been given a commission as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Our responsibilities are first to evangelize, say evangelism. It is our job to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is here. That is our job. Every single one of us is to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is here. The second commission that we have been given is salvation. Say salvation and baptism. We are called to offer citizenship to whosoever will, compelling all to come without restriction or restraint. Number three, we are called to disciple. Say disciple. We are called to assimilate every citizen by instructing them concerning the system of government and their rights and responsibilities as citizens of heaven. That's called the Word of God. That's called prayer. That's called teaching people to worship, teaching people to congregate, to come together as the body of believers in fellowship. Number four, we are called to equip. Say equip. We are called to empower every citizen to discover their position of authority through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that you are to wait for the promise, which when you have received, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Number five, we have been called to commission. Say commission. It is our job and our responsibility to strengthen and encourage every believer, providing the resources and support needed as they fulfill their mission as ambassadors. This is what we have been called to. This is our mandate. This is our mission as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Another way to say this would be that our responsibility is to recruit, enlist, train, equip, and commission every believer in service in the kingdom of God. We are on a rescue mission. We're on a rescue mission. Our job is to evacuate everyone from the kingdom of darkness before the day of judgment comes. That is our job. That is our responsibility. We are on a rescue mission. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That means that we are called to bombard Hades and empty the prison camps, rescuing every prisoner of war before the final airstrike of heaven is released, wiping out the forces of darkness. That is our mandate. This is our mission. Your kingdom come. This is the purpose of the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We are set apart by God to bind every force of darkness and to release his kingdom and his will upon this earth. I want you to hear very clearly as I state to you this morning. I want every single person that is in this room to hear me. And those who are watching, I want you to hear this. Be put on notice. There is a great awakening coming. There is a supernatural wave of God's Spirit being released over the earth. There is a final call being made in preparation for the final evacuation before God's wrath is poured out upon the evil one and his kingdom. We, the church, are about to be empowered like never before to go and to rescue everyone that we can. If you thought that the book of Acts was something, let me tell you, brother and sister, you haven't seen nothing yet. What is coming is so great that the only way that the Bible could describe it was to say it is the former rain and the latter rain together. Imagine getting the rainfall of an entire year all at once. That is what is coming. That is what is coming. I want you to look at this verse with me in Amos chapter 9. Verse 13, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes." See, what in the world does that mean? I want you to get this picture. Imagine that kind of acceleration. As soon as you put the seed in the ground, it's ready to harvest. As soon as you harvest the fruit, another seed is being planted. As soon as another seed is planted, it is ready to harvest. That is acceleration. That is acceleration. A few years ago, the Lord showed me this verse. And he told me that the church was entering into a season of acceleration. Things that would normally take 10 years would be done in no time at all. Just like entering into the final lap of the race, we are in an all-out sprint toward the finish line. God is about to return. The end is closer than ever before. We are in the final seconds of that countdown timer. We have entered into the home stretch. This is the moment that all of creation has awaited. The crowd of saints who have gone on before us are on their feet in the grandstand, cheering at the top of their lungs as we press on with all that we are to win the race and to obtain the prize of the high calling for which we have been called. This is it. The time is now. It is our time to shine for Jesus and finish strong. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord praise for that. John chapter 4, verse 35 says this, Jesus speaking. He says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest? I say to you, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Look at somebody and say, it's harvest time. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. It's time for us to begin to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. It is time for us to begin to pray with authority. Your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let heaven come to earth. How many of you believe that prayer changes things? How many of you will let out a shout with me? Let heaven invade. Come on, shout it out. Let heaven invade. Say it again. Let heaven invade. We need a heavenly invasion of holiness. We need a heavenly invasion of righteousness. We need a heavenly invasion of the glory of God. Abba, may you do it again. Cover the earth, Lord. Come in splendor and let your glory cover this earth once again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Give the Lord praise. I haven't even begun to preach my message yet. I think I'm just going to have to give you a little taste. And we'll dive in next week. How's that? Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. Read this with me. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Look at your neighbor and say, praise changes things. Praise changes things. I want you to declare this with me. Say, I'm going to praise until things change. Get that in your spirit. I want you to declare it again. I am going to praise him until things change. Come on, say it again. I'm going to praise him until things change. Now I'm going to take you back for a minute. We're going to go old school. We're going to go back to the KJV. How's that? Let's go to that same verse in the King James Version. Let's see what, how it says it. Don't worry about the these and thous. Listen to what it says. But thou art holy, O thou that what? Inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits our praises. God inhabits our praises. Did you know that praise is a weapon? Did you know that praise is a weapon? It's a powerful weapon. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Read this with me. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know if y'all are getting it yet. Let's read it again. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of God inhabits the praises of His people. When you praise, chains break. When you praise, fear flees. When you praise, walls fall. When you praise, doors open. When you praise, God shows up. When God shows up, it's game over. It is game over. The white flags come out. The demons start running. Sickness resigns. Death is defeated. Prisons swing wide open. The captives are set free. When God shows up, hell is defeated and heaven is relieved. That is what happens when we praise. When we praise, heaven invades. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder if there is anyone within the sound of my voice that is ready to give up some praise to the Lord, to the King of Kings, and to the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! How many of you are ready to see heaven change earth? How many of you are ready to praise? Praise changes things. Praise changes things. I want the praise team to get in place. As we are coming to a close this morning, yeah, we're coming into a close early here because we want to leave a little bit of space here for somebody to get some freedom today. For somebody to get some victory today. For somebody to get some healing today. For somebody to see some things change today. I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready. I want the prayer team at the front right now. Prayer team at the front right now. If there is someone here, honey, would you come on up? If there is someone here who's been dealing with something that is beyond your control, you've tried prayer. You sought godly counsel. Pastor Chris, come on up here. You've done all that you know to do. Every morning, you open your eyes, there it is to greet you. There's that problem again. Every night as you lay down to sleep, It's the last thing on your mind. As you go throughout your day, it's just right there staring you in the face. You don't have the answers. You don't see a way out. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying to you today. Just begin to praise me. Just begin to praise me. Praise changes things. Even though you don't see the answer, begin to praise him and watch what he will do for you.
We hope that you are blessed by this message and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.